Awesome. Well, I have to tell you, I transitioned that so fast, these guys weren't prepared, but they're out here. Just as Pastor Casey said, we've got our five for five. Now, what that means is there's five people on the stage, and they're each going to speak for 5 minutes. This is going to be fun. I promise you, it's going to be fun. How many of you were here last time we did five for five? Okay, so you have an idea what to expect. Listen, some of you may think, well, you know, they probably don't preach all the time. If you give them that microphone, how do you know it's going to be 5 minutes? We're going to put a timer on the screen right behind them so everyone's going to see how long that they have. I will tell you, Zach tends to go a little too long, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to join with me today. While they're speaking, encourage them. If they made a good point, if they read something good out of the Bible, I want you to let them know, hey, I agree with that. Yeah, that's good. Come on, keep it going. I want you to talk back at them, encourage them. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Are we awake today?
Yeah.
All right, I see several of you with coffee. You're working on it. You're making that transition happen. You're like, I'm trying to get this caffeine as fast as I possibly can, but it's hot. I get it. I burned my mouth just last night, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to introduce these guys to you so that they don't have to spend time in their 5 minutes introducing themselves. And so as I do, I want you to show them your appreciation right here on my right. This is Amy Morrison. We do share the same last name. And yes, in the first service, after the first service, I did get in trouble because I didn't tell the crowd that she's my wife, but I've known her for over half my life. She's pretty great. Then we have Andrea Overholt right here. Might know her from our worship team. And then we have Kunle Babalola right here. He's one of our care pastors. Then we have Gilbert Rodriguez. Gilbert's been here for a long time at Key Point Church. Then we have Pastor Zach Gay. You know who he is. No, he's pretty great. We love him too. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have Kunle come up first, and whenever I do, I want you to give him a warm welcome, but just as we have everybody as they transition, as they come up, I want you to let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. Can you do that? Come on, let's give it up for Kunle right here.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. Good morning. I'm here to talk about Father's love, my Father's love. My family went through some challenging experiences between 2008 and 2012. So much was going on at the time that just thinking about it now makes my head spin. But God, but God. The specific events I'd like to share with you today happened in 2011, while we were still living in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. It was such a crazy, busy time for my family. You've met my family. Our seven children were in school of some sort. Two in elementary school, one in middle school, two in high school, and two in college. Also, my wife, Addie, had just started nursing school. And for me, my drive to work was 3 hours one way. Left for work at 5 to get to work for 8, and left at 6 to get home at 9. And I still got home. When I got home, I still had to handle and review homework. Weekends were for chores, and on paydays, I felt like I was a mailman. Get my pay, deliver to wife, walk away. We didn't have too much. We didn't have a whole lot at that time. Getting paid meant prayer time for Adi and I. And because we had to make ends meet, Adi did her best to manage a very tight budget. And I know I can't explain it, but perhaps she can. But all I know is that we always had more than enough. But God, but God. And Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us. I was at that job for 2 years and was tired of the drive and I needed change. Found a new job in April 2011, which was 15 minutes away, and you'd think it was the best thing since sliced bread. I don't know who came up with that slogan, but shockingly, it was the most difficult time of my life. Work was stressful, and I wasn't excited to be at work. And 3 months later, I got laid off. Talk about shock. Here I am with no job, mouths to feed, and bills to pay. And earlier, May 2011, I had just completed my master's, thinking this should give me more opportunities. Updated my resume, applied to so many jobs with no results. Not a single callback. Come on now, recruiters, you need to be calling me. I was tired, frustrated, and scared all at the same time. But God. I stayed prayerful, we stayed believing, stayed serving at church. All the children were praying. But I learned two important lessons at that time. He never leaves us. Did you know that there are 100 verses in the Bible with the words never leave you, which for me is just reassurance that he's with us 100% of the way. And children learn more from how they see us handle challenges and struggles than successes. Toward the end of April 2011, I got a call from a friend informing me that Walmart was hiring people in Bentonville, Arkansas. At the time, Walmart didn't have a very strong reputation where we lived, and so it was looking like a no from me. Bentonville, Arkansas? Where is that? Will my family have to live in two different states for a while? No. But God. And let me tell you what God did. Won an interview and I got hired. An offer later came and my salary was doubled. We were overjoyed. Arrived in Bentonville the week before, and the first and the only apartment complex I visited was where I signed my lease. They had one apartment left, and that was what I got. And one more important note was finding a place to worship. See, 22 years ago when I left Nigeria to come to the States, I was unable to attend fellowship for a full year. I didn't know anybody, didn't know where to go, and I didn't want that experience again. So we prayed. And during my visit to Bentonville, we stopped at Walmart, the one on Walton, where we met with a greeter. His name was Lee, and he recommended that I do attend a specific church in Rogers. The next weekend I did, and when I did, I knew I was home. How could this be? His grace and his love. That's how I made it. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." See, he loves us. What have I done to deserve this love? I have no answer, but this I know. He is love. And whether life is busy for you or it has come to a screeching halt, I want you to know he loves unconditionally and he's always with us. Thank you.
Excuse me. Well, we just heard Isaiah 41:10, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is one of my very favorite Bible verses because I love the picture it paints of God scooping me up in his giant hand, just keeping me safe. And I think of this verse often because in the past, I've really struggled with fear, specifically fear regarding my physical health, even though I've always been very healthy. As a child, I grew up in a Christian home, and so I always knew that God was our healer. But as a young adult, I went to nursing school where I learned about all kinds of diseases and the symptoms of disease. Unfortunately, Satan took this knowledge and twisted it so that I would become fearful if I noticed I ever had any of these symptoms. And so for years, I lived in fear of disease and health problems. And by the way, this is why you should never Google health problems. A few years ago, I started noticing some strange symptoms that I just ignored for a while. But then one day, I woke up and my left arm was tingling. And then as the day went on, my right arm began to do it also. The tingling moved up my arms into my chin, and my chin became numb. So I went in to see my doctor, and by this point, I was completely terrified. She gave me an exam, and I explained everything that had been happening. And she looked at me and she said, well, this all seems very strange. Now, this is not something you want your doctor to say. She really didn't know what was going on, but she said that the symptoms could be an indication of MS or multiple sclerosis. An amazing thing happened as I sat there and I heard those words. All of the fear that I had when I walked into that office, it disappeared, and I was filled with peace. I knew at that moment that God was right there with me. And I knew that he would be with me in whatever was going to happen. So after that initial doctor's appointment, it led to months and months and months of follow-up doctor's appointments with specialists who ran all kinds of tests. During this time, I happened to read the story in Daniel 3 of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In this story, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, sets up a giant golden image, which he requires everyone to worship, or they'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not worship the king's idol. But what I really like about these guys is their tenacity. They were not intimidated by the king. And they were not afraid. In Daniel 3, 17 and 18, they said, "If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." So the king had them bound up and thrown into the furnace. They believed that God could deliver them from their situation, but they chose to trust him, even if he didn't. In my situation, I believed that God could heal me, but I knew that I had to choose to trust him if he didn't or in just walking through that process. So then in verse 24 and 25, it says, "Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded. He jumped up and he said to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered, 'True, O king.' He answered, 'Behold, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. The form of the fourth is like a son of the gods.'" This is an Old Testament story, but I truly believe it's a good reminder of the Christmas story. We will all walk through difficult situations, but just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will never have to walk through them alone because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. I'm excited to stand here and tell you today that I'm healthy. My doctors never found any disease. I do not have MS. And most of all, during that time, I'll always remember how I was never alone. I felt God's presence walking with me through it. Whatever you're facing today, I want you to know that God is with you and he can bring you peace.
Thank you, Jesus. God is good. We are so privileged to have you this morning among us. If this is your first time, God brought you with a reason, because he loves you. Fear is one of Satan's most popular weapons that he uses against us. The most common lie that he's going to use is to instill fear that God is far away or even absent from your presence. But I am here this morning to tell you that that is not the case. We all felt at some point or another very distant from God, or that he is ignoring us. But nothing could be further from the truth. God promises in his word over and over that he's always with us. Not only that, he has proven time and time again in the Bible, but also in our lives, that he is here. Now, I can tell you this with certainty. The presence of bad times usually are the greatest persuasion that God is absent. But I want you to remember with me this morning, in various times in the Bible, times and times again, God was there. He was in the midst of war, famine, flood, and even in the storm. God is always with us, and he promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. So if you're here this morning, he brought you with a reason. Isaiah 41:10 reads, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Let me tell you the story of our car accident on October 7 of this year, just a few weeks back. It was another Sunday morning. We were coming to church to the third service, just around 11:30. We were waiting on a traffic light like any other Sunday, waiting for the light to change from red to green. There was about four cars in front of us. Within seconds, in a matter of seconds, we were involved in a car accident. We were hit so strong in the back that it dragged our car so much, and we collided with the vehicle in front of us. We definitely experienced God here with us that morning. In seconds, I was able to see the other vehicle impacting ours, us colliding with the vehicle in front of us, my wife and son getting hurt. They both lost conscience. When my son came back to it, he was so scared and he started to cry in pain. We thought his arms and legs were broken. I got out of the car and saw that the impact was so strong that it had buckled the axle of our CRV. The doors were stuck. In fact, I broke them to get to my son. I can tell you that God was there because he gave me the strength to do that. Our windshield had exploded out. To hear your son crying in pain, desperate, is too much. The ambulance was called in. My son and my wife were transported to the hospital. When I look back to the pictures and I see the car and the scene where the accident happened, it's scary. We just praise God. I wouldn't be here telling you the story today if God's presence was not in the midst of our accident. God was here with us, helping me to choose to drive the stronger car that we never bring to church on Sunday. We normally bring the light one in New York. God was here with us in the way that the lady that we collided with decided not to take her infant child for that drive that morning. God was here with us that I can tell you we have no broken bones. The best way to remind ourselves is to remember what God's word says. He promised us that when it comes to him, God, he is always present in our lives.
Good morning, Key Point. Now, you all know that I've had some trauma and drama in my life. But because of Jesus and who he is in my life, I've been able to overcome many things. But it was not always like that. I have found that whenever I'm trying to live life on my own terms, that is when I'm failing. So I thought I'd share a moment when I was failing. So right after my daughter Anya was born, I had a moment in my life where I felt down, you know, where I couldn't seem to get out of that sinking feeling. Maybe it was postpartum depression, maybe it was something else. But I was walking around in a fog, faking life. And I felt like I was closing off from everyone. That's when the enemy will strike. So I felt lost, I felt empty, and I had no joy. And at work, I felt like I was a failure, and I didn't want to be there. But I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit is always there to help you, and he will always find a way to bring you back to him. Now, for me, it was subtle and in the quiet moments. So when you're in the car, I hear these words of comfort coming at me. In the shower, that's where I do deep thoughts, I would hear words of encouragement pouring down. When I would hear my worship music, every word had more meaning than before, and it was an emotional experience for me. Then my son comes up to me out of nowhere, and he gives me a hug, and he tells me he loves me. Ooh, my heart. A friend will call me up just to say, hey, what's up? And I'm thinking, oh, someone's thinking about me. And you guys, key point, one of you will come up to me and say, hey, that thing you did, that really meant something to me. Oh, something I did matters. And for sure, my husband, he did the laundry, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. I hate doing the laundry, but that is love, okay? If you were hearing that small voice speaking love to you, that's God. And with all these things together, he was letting me know who I was and that he is here for me, and I am not a failure. Finally, it was breaking through, and I was compelled. I had to ask him to help bring me out of that darkness that I was in. Psalms 40, 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. The Lord will help you. He will order your steps, and he will get you back walking along his side. If you are feeling down like this, I encourage you today to speak with someone. And if you're feeling lost and you don't know your purpose, just know this. You are a child of God. And you may not understand what you're here for, but you are here for a purpose. You don't have to understand it. He knows what he's doing. I know I can talk to God anytime. There is no judgment. You can tell him anything, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Right, Gilbert? Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. I had a support group, family and friends, and I still had this faith. Just think of the people out there without that. Our pastors are telling us about being the light, understanding more about the Holy Spirit. That is how we can help others. Those are great messages. You may not know at Key Point, but you have meant a lot to me in my life, and I am not here by accident. So I love you all, and I thank God for you.
Right. Fix my pants. All right. Emmanuel, God with us. I know that God is with me right now, but I need to know that you're with me. So preach me down a little bit this morning. Say amen, hallelujah, thank God, praise. Get a towel out, wave it, I don't care. But at Christmas time at my church that I grew up in Dallas, we did Christmas specials every year. And every year, this same song was done as like the special song. And, you know, y'all are probably thinking, Zach, like, can you talk about something other than music? And I can, and I would want to if I felt like it, but I don't feel like it this morning. So, but did anybody grow up on the Gaither Vocal Band homecoming videos? Anybody know who I'm talking about? Come on, shout me down. Anybody knows the Gaither I'm talking about? All right, Gaither homecomings. My dad was a freak on these videos. Every single time the infomercial came on, he bought the deluxe set. He was dialing it up, and yeah, it was every video from the past, plus you get the brand new one every time, you know, get the brand new, which is actually a kind of a lie because it was just a mashup of like all the old ones from before, you know. But we loved watching those. My mom is rolling her eyes in the living room. Dad's just singing along, and it's showing these panning shots of the crowd, and everybody's singing, it's really beautiful, and Dad, he just knows everybody. He says, oh, there's such and such, that's them, and oh, there's Vestal Goodman, I don't know what I'm talking about, there's Bill Gaither, you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, there's such, and as the years went on, it started getting weird, because he'd be pointing them out, he's like, oh, there's such and such, they're dead now, there's such and such, they're dead now, I'm like, Dad, this is like getting morbid here, like, we're singing songs, worshiping, and he's just pointing out a bunch of dead people, this isn't the sixth sense, so, but I promise I got a point to this. In those videos, there was always this one song And it was the Christmas song that my church sang every year. And I love it because of the perspective that it paints for us. Maybe you know this one. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Little Mary, did you know? I love that song. And it keeps going, talking about the miracles that Jesus would perform, talking about how he's the Lord of all creation. Through him, all things were created. Talking about he's heaven's perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice for our sin and shame. And the last line in the whole song, I think, is my favorite. It's the most powerful to me. It says, he's the great I am. And I know you're going to Google that song later, and there's a whole bunch of great versions, but the Gaither Vocal Band version is my favorite because of the memories that it brings back to me, the memories that I have. And it's Christmas time, and it's easy to go back and just think and reminisce on these memorable moments. Think about the memory of the manger scene and just stay there. Thinking about little sweet baby, 8-pound, 7-ounce Jesus sitting in the manger. But what I'm grateful for is that God's position in my life didn't stay there. He didn't stay a baby. He lived. Jesus lived his life, his sinless life, and died for me. See, God's position didn't stay in that memory and didn't stay in that moment that we talk about once a year. He is the great I am, who was and is to come. That's the God that we serve. See, Jesus was born, he lived, he died, he rose again, but it wasn't just for those living at the time. See, Emmanuel, is not God once. Emmanuel is not God for the people that he walked on this earth with. He's not God for the people that was at the manger scene. He is God with us, and he's with us today through his Holy Spirit. That's why I can't just talk about one time God was good to us, because he's good to us through it all, right? He's good with us through it all. He's convicting me when I start to get complacent in my walk. He's comforting me when I feel lost, right? He's showing me hope. He's bringing me joy. He's bringing me peace in the busyness of life. He's with me through every situation. Now, it could have been enough for Jesus to come and live and die and be raised again from the dead. It would have been enough. Oh, goodness, I'm way behind. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus himself in the Gospel of John said, it's better that I go so that the Helper can come, so that the Holy Spirit can come and be with you and walk through everything. And not only that, not just helping you, but give you the power to do greater things than I did even on this earth. That's Jesus Christ saying that, not me. And I believe him. I believe that he's the Son of the living God and through all things were created. I believe that he was born of a Virgin Mary. I believe that he is the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets. I believe that he lived a sinless life, that he went to the cross for my sin, that he loved me enough to die for me, but he loved me so much that he couldn't stay dead, because on the third day he rose in power with all power of heaven and earth. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, and guess what? I believe that he is coming back. And just as the scripture says, in 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord will come back and crack the sky with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise up, and those who are still alive will go to meet him in the air. And guess what? The last line of that verse, it says, so we will be with the Lord forever. Yes, God sent Christ to be here. Christ gave us the Holy Spirit to live with us right now. Help us live lives that honor him and bring glory to him. Amen. But he is Emmanuel. He is here with us now. And when it's our time, we're going to go and be with him forever in heaven. Can I get a shout of praise for the goodness of our God in this place, Key Point Church? Hallelujah.
I think Zach just got a little bit excited, don't you? Hey, can you give it up for these guys? This is our last service of the day. You guys have done an amazing job. You know, I think we wouldn't be doing it justice if we talked about God with us and we didn't give an opportunity for someone to know him relationally. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? And I ask you to do that just so that you can have a moment with God. And I want you to do this. I want you to ask him, Lord, what are you saying to me today through these messages? And I believe that just as we talked about how he came to be with us, I believe he wants to know you in a way that maybe you've never known him before. It could be today that you need to give your life to Jesus. It could be that you're here and you come to a realization, Jesus, I need to completely submit to you, and I need you to take me and make me brand new. If that's you, we're going to, here in just a minute, we're going to all say a prayer together. I want you to repeat after me whenever we do it. We're going to all say a prayer together. And if that's you today, I want you to say it with the rest of us. And I really want you to mean that in your heart. Let's do this. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, today I recognize my need for you. I repent of my sins and I give my life to you. I recognize that you came. I recognize that you lived a sinless life and you sacrificed yourself for me. So I ask you to come in, be my Lord, and be my Savior. Now I want you to keep your heads bowed. And I'm not asking this to embarrass anybody. My goal is not to embarrass anybody, but my goal is to celebrate with you. And so nobody's looking around. Today, if you said that prayer and you meant it and you know that your life has changed, would you just raise up your hand real quick and you can put it back down? Anybody in this room? Okay, thank you so much. Yes, 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 I see you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else in this place? This is an important time, important day. I see you. Yes. One more person. Anybody else? Thank you. I want to pray with you. Could be that today there's something that was said in one of these messages that hit home with you. And maybe it's just so that you know you are not alone. Whatever is going on, whatever season that you're in, you may feel like God's got blinders when it comes to you. You may feel like nobody is with you, but you need to know that God is with you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, for us. And just as you've named him Emmanuel, God with us, we believe, Jesus, that you are here with us today. God, that some people have made their lives brand new today by receiving you, by that simple act of receiving you into their life. And Lord, I pray that if there are any here and they may feel lonely, they may feel like they're walking through something alone, let them know that you are right there with them, that you are always with us in the middle of every season, no matter how tough or how good it may be. We thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. And so we praise you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen. Can we love on him real quick? Just show Jesus how much you love him.